and knock on our door.
Come knock on our door.
We've been waiting for you.
We've been waiting for you.
Where the kisses are hers and hers and his. Three's company too. Come and dance on our floor.
Come and dance on our floor.
Thank you for knocking on our door, and welcome to the Regal Beagle Podcast, a podcast dedicated to the much-loved television sitcom Three's Company. Here we review and discuss each and every Three's Company episode, covering all 8 seasons in chronological order. My name is Danko Jones, and joining me today, yet again, for the 5th week in a row, to kick off season 6, is my cousin Cameron. Cameron, it's great to have you back, and especially for the first and second episode of season 6. We're going to cover episode 1 and 2, which are really part 1 and 2. Thank you for doing this.
Oh man, it's good to be back. I'm back. This is so great. Wow. It's an honor to be sort of part of the season 6 premiere, and I can't say enough about it.
Season 6, episode 1, Jack Bears All, parts 1 and 2. It aired October 6th, all in one shot, 1981, directed by Dave Powers, written by Martin Rips and Joseph Storetsky. Cindy Snow moves out and Terry Alden moves in. Cameron, what did you think of Jack Bears All?
Oh my God, what an episode.
Yes,
it's it was like a film. It was like a Three's Company, the movie.
Yes, absolutely.
And you know what? I was there for it. I was on the edge of my seat. I didn't know what was going to happen. There were ups, there were downs. I had, like, you know, at the very end of the episode, just the emotional stunner of a moment. And I loved it. I loved it. Cool. I don't think they did anything wrong here, especially when we said goodbye to Cindy. Oh,
I love
how everything about it was great.
The episode starts, usually it starts with a shot of the living room or maybe the Regal Beagle. But this episode started with a kind of a long shot of a cake.
Yeah, there was just like a little bit more, you know, the creative choices were very interesting. You know, like it was a goodbye Cindy cake. It was this sort of, you know, Jack working away in the kitchen. It's like we're re-entering their lives after being away from them for so long. Oh, it was great.
Imagine seeing this back in 1981 after a summer break and you're just dying to see it. And September comes in and... no Three's Company, and now, oh, here we go.
That's it, yeah.
Two episodes in a row. Amazing.
They know what the people want.
Yeah, I'm sure. Now we skipped over the summer. We never saw Cindy break the news to Janet and Jack that she's got to move out, but she is. She's going to UCLA to stay in the dormitories to become a veterinarian.
Yeah, see you later, Cindy.
Yeah, so she's got to move out, but not before they throw her a going away party, and hopefully they can try and find a roommate to replace her.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah.
Meanwhile, Jack has a new job. He's been rehired by Mr. Angelino, played by Jordan Charney. Mr. Angelino, after Larry, I think was one of, I think is the most, he's appeared the most on the series. 12 appearances as, well, 11 appearances as Mr. Angelino. And so this is his second appearance on the show as Mr. Angelino, Jack Tripper's boss, and of course Felipe, the cook in the kitchen who will never become a chef, and hates Jack because of it. What'd you think of? Now, have you seen Felipe and Mr. Angelino before? You saw that first appearance, right?
This was my introduction to Felipe and Mr. Angelino.
So what did you think of both of them returning?
There was I could tell right away there was a history there.
Yeah.
Obviously. I thought Mr. Angelino was very much like all of Jack's previous bosses.
Right.
He served, you know, the purpose of, you know, that he needed to serve.
Yeah.
Felipe, on the other hand, was a very interesting character. Because, you know, it's very clear to the audience that, you know, he is, you know, jealous of Jack's success and wants, you know, to be a cook and doesn't like playing second fiddle. But he plays stupid for Jack. And you think Jack, you know, who is himself a master of deception and, red herrings and everything like that, would be able to see right through this sort of like, but he falls for, you know, his fake naivety and like innocence. And so it was an interesting dynamic. I think that, Felipe's sort of acting, overacting was part of that character, because he would, take mugs to the camera and sort of make eyes and you go, okay, well, obviously he's sabotaging Jack on purpose here. I thought it was good to move the story along, but I don't know that I loved it per se. Was Felipe a big hit? Do you like Felipe? I don't know.
Yeah, Felipe was probably my favorite recurring character on the series.
Jeez, really? Okay. Well,
yeah.
Okay. Why is that? Am I missing something here?
Yeah, because it's hilarious because how much he hates Jack. I love that.
So we see him. Okay. I guess because I was cheering for Jack, right?
Yeah, but when Felipe, he stole a few scenes, he's always stealing scenes, I think, and that's why they kept having him on. Mm. He appears on the series 6 times. This is his second time. So after this one, there's 4 more appearances of Felipe. And
oh, God.
I mean, they bring him back on because he's a hit. Mr. Angelino, I never really was a big fan. He was always barking at everybody.
There's not much to him, really,
Yeah, but, he's got 10 more appearances.
Wow.
Now, what do you think of Terry, the nurse, Nurse Terry?
Nurse Terry, wow. Well, the way that I think the writers set this up, you could tell from the moment, she graced the screen that this was going to be the new, the third in the new Three's Company. It was a very apparent right from the start, but I was fascinated by the turn that her character took from, I felt like the Terry that we saw, Nurse Terry, was like night and day from Terry that we met later on at the apartment after sort of befriending Janet. Also, I was very much relieved, especially because I thought, because all I've been used to recently is Cindy, right? And that whole scene with Terry as a nurse was just, as far as Three's Company episodes go, was phenomenally acted. She's a great actress. Her timing, I think her presence on screen, I think was just miles away, just so much better than, Cindy. I don't know. I just thought it was great. I thought she was refreshing and not sort of like...
dumb blonde.
Not a dumb blonde. And as they alluded to in the episode, not another person that Jack could manipulate, but somebody that would like give us a different dynamic for the three of them moving forward. And somebody that was able to see him, call him on his bullshit, and then take him to task. And that was funny to see. And obviously Jack doesn't respond to that well. But I think, they worked through that in the episode, which was like a lot to take on for a season premiere, saying goodbye to one character, bringing in a brand new character. But I thought it was masterfully done for a sitcom of this caliber.
Yeah, I got to agree with you. Terry is my favorite of the three. She was great. She was... out of the three rotating roommates that Jack and Janet had, she was obvious. I found her to be the most attractive.
No question. Absolutely.
She could hold her own with slapstick or physical comedy. I think this was her first time at it. So there is a bit of a learning curve with her dealing with comedy. I think that someone like Joyce DeWitt, she's like 5 seasons into this sitcom.
And she's so used to John's timing and everything like that too, right?
Yeah. So I think, and off screen, I think Priscilla Barnes, who played Terry Alden, and Joyce DeWitt became best friends. So they're still friends today and they appear in fan expos or Comic Cons together. I think the vibe, the energy off screen, you know, was apparent on screen. So that was good.
But yeah, I agree. Well, I mean, you sort of already revealed it here, but I guess there are only three third roommates. And if that's the case, then she is by far, even after one episode, the best of them all.
I think so too. Yeah, there is nobody else after Tara.
Because there's also, I think, like a level of complexity to her that none of the other ones had, right?
Yeah.
And I appreciate that. But I will say that it was it took me a bit. I mean, again, it doesn't, you know, it's Three's Company, but like, you know, the only thing that didn't fit for me was that she seems to be, you know, have a pretty, successful career. Right. And I don't know that she necessarily need to be living with two other roommates as a registered nurse.
Yeah. Right? Well, we got
Joy Janet's at a flower shop. Jack cannot hold a job. So that makes sense. But like the fact that she's, you know, like upon meeting Janet for the first time, giving up an apartment and ready to move in with, you know, some guy that showed up to her hospital, you know, acting, you know, a bit loony is like, oh yeah, I want to live with these people. It was like, okay. And I, you know, I get it, they had to squeeze it in, but that to me was like, yeah, like, come on, guys.
Well, I think the nurse occupation would probably allow for some hijinks in a hospital or something, as opposed for to sure. a flower and shop.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or an office, you know, which is where Cindy ended up.
Yeah.
So.
I also, notably, they've really zhuzhed up the opening theme song.
Yep. A different, same song, but a different take.
Instrumentation's a bit different.
Yeah. And of course, the Los Angeles Zoo is now, you know, the intro, whatever you call that, the introduction, isn't the...
Which was, funnily enough, there were, because Cindy's leaving to become a vet, you got some great, you know, furly animal jokes.
Yep, that, I loved it.
You know, those were great. It made me think a lot about the open and wondering if, you know, if we're going to see more of Cindy. I hope not, but...
We will for this coming season. She'll be there, but she
seems like the way that they say goodbye to her is like, we're going to definitely see her again.
Yeah, but they also, like, you know, closing the door on her, I found to be like a little heavy-handed. They literally just, you know, closed the door on her and kicked her out. And the way the three of them are together when it's just them, you can kind of tell that, oh, this is going to be a new era. You know,
you know, some things change, but some things stay the same. And I can't say enough about, I cannot say enough about Don Knotts, and Furley in this episode. He was just on point all the way through.
Oh yeah. I love
the blindfolded magic act to his party games, right as the dance floor was heating up, and his reaction to Jack making fun of him and imitating him was great.
Yeah,
I was laughing. I didn't, you know, I mean, I was howling. It was great.
Furley the Magnificent. He's great.
Yeah.
So Larry also has a few great lines. Who is this blossom from Love's Bouquet? When he meets Terry, he asks her, the new wave groups that he shows up with the records, Sour Milk, Worm Rot, and Spoiled Meat.
Are they real bands?
No, but I love how they made those up, because new wave, they don't sound like new wave bands at all. But and Larry doesn't look like a patron of the new wave movement either. So
absolutely not.
Yeah, I thought the misplacement was hilarious. And there's one thing I want to say that ties these two episodes. The last episode of season 5, episode 22, Honest Jack Tripper, and these two parts of Jack Bears All. Larry's love interest in all three episodes is the same actress playing two different characters. So,
what?
Yeah. So in the last episode of season 5, where, you know, Larry is trying to come off like he's a Playboy photographer.
Right.
That was with a girl in the show called Luann, played by Shel Kepler. And then Shel Kepler returned not five episodes later, not one season later, the next episode as a different character named Dee Dee, who Larry wanted to have move in with Jack and Janet. So this is the same actress, Shel Kepler, as two different characters, episodes apart. Very weird, but you know, we saw that with Ann Sheedon.
How did they get away? I think they just try and get away with it to see if people will notice.
Well, there's a summer break, right? This is episode one, season six.
Oh yeah,
six,
that's true.
So,
but Shel Kepler didn't play the woman that he was trying to pick up when pretending to be a doctor.
No, that was a different uncredited actress.
Oh.
But the first episode Shel appeared on, she was a model, and Larry was a Playboy photographer. And then season six, episodes one and two, she is now Dee Dee, who is the singer.
Marketing singer, yeah.
Yeah, and Larry is now a professional voice coach. So interesting show. You can't get away with that now.
While we're on the subject of Larry, I really felt that's the scene, obviously, where they were trying to embarrass
Terry.
But I felt like a little bit over the top for Larry to be such a dick for no reason. Like, well, I guess his only reason was because he was kind of, you know, stuck offering this. It was basically just another promise he made to another girl he wanted to bed, right? But I just felt like it was a little bit over the top for Larry to be like such a dick for, you know, just for that. And it was like, you knew at some point Jack was going to say, okay, this is a bit too much. But it was just like, that was like, whoa, that was a lot.
Yeah. And I loved how it was a lot. It really made the audience feel for Terry immediately before she's even, you know, just when they meet her. They already, yeah. Everybody loved Terry by the episode's end. Because they went so hard on her.
Oh, it really worked.
Yeah, it's great.
But then, like, I had no hard feelings for Larry after that. But you know what I mean? But
Larry didn't end with Dee Dee wasn't there at the end. Larry was by himself at the end of the party. You notice that?
Yeah, she had left. Yeah,
left.
I just felt like Larry was just like, I've got an idea, and I don't know. For sure. I mean, I by the end of it, I was a Terry fan too, and I'm excited to see now this opens up so many doors for the cast moving forward, because you know Terry versus Cindy is like it's not contest. Like there's so many so many more things you can do. I think I don't know. It's just I have to say I was very impressed. I wasn't expecting to be sort of wowed this much, but
yeah. Another thing that I really kind of noticed was during this whole back and forth between Jack and Terry during the game A Million Laughs, it pulls at the heartstrings and Jack and Terry make up and they hug and everybody applauds at the party and everyone's so glad that, you know, Terry's this great person. It's Cindy's party.
Yeah,
it's her going away party, and like she's left on the side. You have to wonder what was going through Jenny Lee Harrison's mind.
Oh God!
During the filming of that episode, heartbreaking.
Yeah, for sure. But I mean, I don't know. I feel like the writing had to have been on the wall, right?
Well, yeah, I guess.
I mean, she wasn't leaving for a better role. Let's just say that, right? Like she's not.
Oh well, hey, listen to this.
Uh-oh.
Jenny Lee Harrison ended up on Dallas.
Oh.
Yeah, she was on Dallas for a few years. So she actually landed on her feet.
Well, good for her. I mean, probably was better than, than Cindy, but... Yeah.
But anyways, so yeah, that's it. So listen, how about take a break from coming on the podcast for a couple of weeks... And
yeah.
Then come back when Terry has a few episodes under her belt.
Yeah.
I don't want you watching any episodes where it's kind of like touch and go. she's trying to figure out the kinks of the character. Let's get you back in when Terry's firmly entrenched in Three's company.
Wow. I never thought I'd see the day where I'd say that I was excited to see an episode of Three's Company.